B-Pod Studios.
This is the home of the game.
Patriots!
And these guys, Toucher and Rich, on Boston's home for sports, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
This is the home of the game. And these guys, Toucher and Rich, on Boston's home for sports, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
The Sports Hub. It's Toucher and Rich. I was in the middle of looking at this article, so I guess that a lot of corporations and stuff hurting right now, there are a couple who have just been banking it, one of them being the Wham-O Corporation that makes slip and slides. I guess the sales of slip and slides have been up like 350%, and to that I could say yes, because I actually bought a slip and slide during all of this. I mean, because you right now have a world full of people who are, you know, they don't want to go to the crowded pools or be, so they're trying to make their backyards this like fun paradise or whatever. If you have kids, you're doing anything to keep them entertained. Yep. So I bought a slip and slide, And this article I was reading just had like these comments, and people are calling out parents for like ordering a slip and slide because they're like, they're wildly dangerous. I know a kid who, you know, blah, blah, blah. And to that I say, yeah, sure. I don't really know many times that I've had a slip and slide where one kid didn't, you know, hit a rock the hard way that happened to be under the slip and slide. But, you know, despite that, dude, they're fun as hell. And you know what? It's like everything needs to be super safe nowadays. And I think of like the ways that we got entertained when we were bored when I was a kid. It's a miracle that I'm not dead and that all of my friends are not dead. Just the dumb things we did to keep us entertained. Man, we had a game in which we like would make each other pass out. Like we would like grab each other's windpipe and see who would be the one who could like, oh, can you make a pass out? Ah, and then we'd pass out on the floor and get them rah. That was a real game. We would basically choke each other until we passed out, and that was a fun game. There was a dude who lived next door to us who had a potato cannon. Have you ever heard of a potato cannon before?
Yeah, I used to use them.
Yes.
Okay. Okay, great. So, Joe, you know what I'm talking about here. Potato cannons, first of all, are no joke. They could put a hole
huge
in your body.
Like bazookas, yeah.
Yeah, so if you don't know what a potato cannon is, it's you take a PVC pipe, and there was a way that you would like attach some sort of flame or something to the back of it where you would push it into a potato so it would completely clog the front of the PVC pipe. Mm-hmm. And then you would hold it up like a bazooka, just like you said, Joe, and you lit this thing on the back of it. And when you launched it, I remember there was this one time where this kid next door aimed it at a tree, and it put a damn near hole in the tree. It like was like a boom, and it flies. I mean, you could murder somebody with a potato cannon, and that was just kind of known as, the kids are just making a potato cannon. And nowadays, I'm sure like you would go to jail if they found one of those at your home. I mean, I'm thinking about like games we had that were basically, there's no way that in any kind of schools anymore they play kill the guy with the ball. That was a normal.
Oh, yeah. We used to do that. We played suicide. You probably remember that game. Yep. Off the wall.
Yeah.
And if you missed
what was suicide?
It,
what was suicide?
So you throw a ball off the wall, and if you didn't handle it cleanly, you had to run, and then somebody would pick up and fire it at you. Oh, that was like a growing up game.
I guarantee, and these were games, and that was a game we played at school, was kill the guy with the ball. And that's a game that you can't do anymore. And of course, it had a million names that, you know, that you can't really say right now. But I mean, you would just, the game was whoever got the ball, you beat the living crap out of them until they coughed it up. I guarantee you, you're not allowed to do that anymore. We had games that was just like Ninja Boy, and Ninja Boy was just like, you would go up to your friends and you would kick their legs out from underneath them until they smacked their skull. And that was just a, could you stand still and not fall? Yeah. And you would just stand there and let your friend with one kick kick as hard as they could to try to sweep your legs out from under you to where you would smack yourself and get a concussion.
I've never heard of that. Everyone played kill the kid with the ball. Everyone did that. There were versions of suicide that we played when I was in school.
Relivio, man, I used to. You're not stopping me. I'm breaking that thing down, man.
What is that? What game?
Red Rover.
Red Rover, sure. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Well, Red Rover, no one wanted Joe to play.
No.
The metal spinner, like the thing that was just the metal bars. Yeah. I mean, you would just play that game and you fling it, you flew off and smashed yourself.
Yep.
They don't got that anymore. You can't do that.
No, you have ridges now on the edge of that thing. But plastic ridges.
You brought up slip and slide, man. We'd throw everything on there, man. Drano. Anything we could get out.
Drano? Why? Drano, what did you do?
Lysol.
Why?
Dish soap was great, but it'd get
so you go faster?
That's not Drano.
That's why you threw it on there, so you would go faster down the slip and slide, down a hill, right?
Yeah, use like...
have to be down a hill.
Pam stuff you put on your
Hang on. Pam and soap are completely different than Drano. Yeah, like, couldn't that burn your skin?
I don't know. We went flying, though, man. That's all I can tell you.
Yeah, down the hill. And when you left the slip and slide, that was a rude awakening.
Yeah, that's right.
Especially if you put that extra stuff on. I used to do that, too.
There's part of me that thinks that kids aren't bored enough now. And, like, they need to be bored. Because the things that you could invent, you know, it's almost like being in prison. We've talked about that. Like, you have all the time in your hands. You find ways to make all of these crazy experiments and things like that. You know, kids just need to be bored sometimes. Although we would do stuff. Oh my God. I even feel bad talking about it. Put it this way. The stuff we did with fireworks was just insanity. Like bottle rocket wars were a normal thing. Like, and you would light them and you would fling them like right before it was about to go.
Yep.
And you'd get the timing down. Although how many times did you have one blow up in your hand? Which once again, I still can't believe we still have all of our fingers, but you would wait and then you would chuck it. And we would have like the street was kind of that was the middle, like that was half court. And so we would be on 1 yard and then the other team would be on the other one and you couldn't cross half court. And you would sit there and just wait and you'd hum it. And these things would like blow up once they hit the other team. Like they would blow up right where they were hitting them. And normal game, nobody cared.
Yeah, I know some schools, kids were dropping fireworks in the toilet.
Yep.
At some places.
But I had a kid who got suspended for a month, did that in my middle school.
Nate, line one. Nate, what's up, man? You're on the show.
Hey, what's up, guys? So speaking of crazy stuff we did as a kid, we had this game just called the tire game, and it was a combination of pickle and dodgeball, and we used an old bike tire wrapped in duct tape.
Mm-hmm.
And that was it. You played pickle running back and forth, but instead of tagging the guy out, you got to use the tire and you just whipped it at him as hard as you could.
I know this game. We had a string on ours, though. Oh. It felt like it was a pig. We would just fire the tire on a string onto a tree.
Oh, yeah, we did that. All right. Line three. Who hasn't had this? Who hasn't seen this when they were a kid? And by the way, you shouldn't do any of these things. Andrew, you're on the show.
Hey, when we were like 13, we were down at the park, and my buddy just got back from New Hampshire on 4th of July. His dad got a bunch of Roman candles, so he pulled down his pants, stuck one in his butt, lit the thing up, and boom.
Yeah, I mean, it's like everyone had a friend that did that. I was never that guy, but I mean, ask me if I've seen a guy shoot a Roman candle out of his butt in person. The answer is yes. And you really haven't lived till you've seen it. You should not do these things, by the
ever.
Way. Ever. All right. 617-779-0900. Now everyone's calling it. Because this article is just crazy. Yeah. It's like, oh, irresponsible getting a slip and slide.
Slip and slide was like PG growing up, man. Yeah. Like, seriously. He played slip and slide. You're like, hey, he's doing all right over there.
I had a guy who actually tried to put a loop-de-loop in his slip and slide because he didn't know anything about the laws of physics, that you couldn't stick to the slip and slide when you went upside down. He landed on his head twice and went back for a third try head first. That's how nuts he was. Like,
all right, let's go to Brian on line two. Brian, what's up, man? You're on the show.
Yeah. For starters, some of these stories are absolutely hilarious. Yeah, no, but when we were kids, we would go in the woods and we'd take these old dried out branches and we'd swing them like bats and hit a tree, a skinny tree, and launch the top half. It would snap off and go flying through the woods. And so essentially we'd be playing dodgeball, but we'd be dodging projectiles, which are the top half of the tree.
Oh, sure. Yeah, yeah, yeah. It would just, you'd have to end up, like, watching out because it would come smash on you. That was, you know, I live near the woods, and we would do all sorts of crazy crap. Evan on line four.
Hey, guys.
What's up, Evan?
Morning.
Hey.
So, some things we used to do as a kid, I only had one paintball gun. I don't know why my parents let me buy a paintball gun. We only had one, so we'd get our friends to go out with no like, protection on into the woods, and we just let them run around, and we'd shoot them with one paintball gun. They get hit off the neck, they get hit off the side of the face, they get hit in the groin. It was like Deer Hunter without any protection. It was the stupidest thing we could do. We'd come back with welts and we'd be bleeding and it would be terrible. So
yeah, we used to freeze.
How did you decide who was the hunted?
To be honest, I guess we used the weakest one. Whoever grabbed the paintball gun first, and everybody just ran.
that was it.
Yeah, we used to freeze the paintball guns. And then one bad thing that happened in our neighborhood was kids would, like, freeze eggs. Like, egging was, like, a huge thing in our neighborhood. And dudes would freeze eggs and do, like, drive-by eggings. It was not good. Not good.
By the way, John was talking about how he used to play that game called Darkness, where they would put the tennis ball in the sock, and yep. You know, where you couldn't see and just smack each other. Someone said, "Well, that explains why John Wallach had a gap in his teeth." somebody said, "Catching bats, a tube stock full of pea stones, toss it in the air, and the bats thinks it's a big bug food and snag it. The claws get caught in the sock." Bats. Oh, what do you do to catch the bat? First of all, once again, you shouldn't do any of these things. I'm just saying, you know, how ridiculous it is that people are freaking out about, like, the safety of a slip and slide when the crap that we went through was ridiculous. Somebody said, who hasn't played Lunar Patrol? The fun-filled one-person game where you'd throw boulders up in the air and try to catch them with your head without shattering and kick your own ass. Now, I never did that. Jesus. Lunar Patrol seems very strange. I would. God. That's one that even back in the day I wouldn't do. Whoa. That seems a little out there. All right. Let's go to Sean on line five. Let's keep this rolling. Might as well. Sean, what's up, man?
Hey, Rich. How you doing? I'm 48 years old, so I've been around for a while. But growing up, they didn't pave my driveway. They just put, like, rocks in there. And so me and my buddy would just get on opposite sides of the yard with piles of rocks and have rock fights with each other.
Done that?
Well, who hasn't done that?
That's like, yeah, you know.
That's a rite of passage. Yeah,
I mean, I'm bored. Let's just throw rocks.
Yeah, seriously.
That's a shirt, Joe. I'm bored. Let's throw rocks. I'm all right with that. Dutcher and Rich, I'm bored. Let's throw rocks. Put that right in the back. All right, Eric, line two. Eric, what's up, man?
My friend and I used to whip tar shingles at each other. That game ended when I had an eye patch on for about 6 months in the fourth grade.
Oh, man.
Yeah, tar shingles were everywhere. Yeah, I remember
that. Yeah, sure.
Yeah, you got shingles in the eye. I mean, we would do stuff like, someone tweeted this, and this is something we totally did. I think every kid did it, is you would make a makeshift ramp with a piece of plywood and put it on, like, a cinder block, and you would, you know, take your bike and do the, and jump off of it. But what your buddy would do is he would lie right underneath the ramp, and you'd try to do, like, an Evel Knievel and, like, jump over your friend, and it never worked out the way it was supposed to. I mean, you were always either getting a wheel to the gut, or the thing would snap, and your friend and your bike would crash right onto your ribs. Yeah, that was also one that I think every group of kids used to be able to do.
98.5 The Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Is not your conventional sports radio show.
It's become painfully clear.
Dutcher and Rich, 98.5, The Sports. Sports Hub.
On 98.5, the Sports Hub, no!
It's the Bagel Awards.
Did that count?
Yep.
You're Joey Bag of Money.
And the oven.
Okay. Get help today.
And Fist of Cash in the Chest. Oh!
98.5, a Sports Hub. It is Toucher and Rich. The Degenerate Special is real, and it is powerful. It has been very, very good to me. As I said, there's not many better parts of the week than waking up on a Saturday or Sunday morning and forgetting that I had bet on some random Korean soccer game and seeing that tweet from Lifshatz or Joe Murray that just has a bunch of little dollar sign emojis, and you know that, yes, indeed, somewhere in the world, I want to bet. And that's why the Bankroll Boys are great at what they do. And they are brought to you by DraftKings. DraftKings has a shot at a share of millions of dollars up for grabs every day this week. Download DraftKings now. Use code SPORTSHUB during sign-up and start feeling the sweat like never before. Eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com for details. And if you doubt their degenerate cred, just know that there was only one person on Twitter last night bitching about the WNBA, and that would be Dan Lifshatz, who is all locked into the WNBA. I take it you're not watching for entertainment purposes, but mostly just because you have... You are phenomenal at betting WNBA games, correct?
Well, let's be fair. I watched the final minute and a half of the WNBA game and absolutely nothing more.
Okay, because you had a big problem. It's like, man, the Liberty, or I forget what team it is, has the best collection of talent that sucks, and they can't do anything. And I'm like, does anybody like that tweet? Like, is there anybody who's actually watching along with you going, yeah, man, I've been thinking the same thing?
Surprisingly, I'm actually in a little chat with a few other WNBA people. We discuss the WNBA throughout the day. It's kind of pathetic, but it works. So,
and how has your gambling on the WNBA gone? Because I know your track record is pretty ridiculous.
8-3-1 this year. Not bad.
8-3-1. Not bad. Not too bad. All right. Well, let's get to some of the stuff that you guys sent me this morning. Some of the bigger bets that's going on. The NBA title odds, they've kind of been moving all over the place. Who do you guys have right now as the value pick? I see the Lakers right now +225, Clippers at +300, and the Bucks at +325. Which ones of those would you put money on right now?
Clippers. I have the Clippers. Kevin Durant said it himself last night. He sees the Clippers and Bucks in the finals. The Lakers are the square because they're the favorite. So if you're asking about value, value to me is the Clippers.
Yeah, I think it's on the Lakers. The whole world's on the Clippers. Every single person I know thinks the Clippers are going to win the NBA title. And I have been beyond unimpressed by what they've offered so far in the first eight games. Not that the Lakers have been world beaters, but...
Did you see that quote that LeBron had yesterday where he said, when they clinched the one seed in the West, he said, no one thought that I could do it. And I'm sitting there going, all right. Anthony Davis leads the team in points scored, rebounds, I believe, like 3 points. I think it's like everything except for assists. I think he leads that team. And LeBron's like, listen, nobody thought I could do it. People always ask me why I can't stand LeBron James. It's things like that. Because when you just start to like him, he just goes, me, it's about me. When really, we've seen it even in the bubble. Anthony Davis has been unbelievable this year. So I unfortunately think that the Lakers are probably going to beat the Clippers as well. But I just love the fact that the moment I start to like LeBron James, he reminds me why I can't stand the guy.
My only thing with that, though, is some of these books are only listing three teams to win the championship. Like, they're not even giving the Celtics. The Rockets have been getting some love after a win, big win this week, but
because they're realistic.
The Raptors have to.
The Raptors have
as well, yeah. Some guy wants me to take his money on, the preseason odds on the Raptors. I'm like, come on. I don't even know why you want to burn your money. The Bucks are clearly a better team than the Raptors are.
But I do think this restart, if it means anything or not, the Bucks have showed that a little bit that they have some issues.
Oh yeah,
they're not a great team. Again, Houston, they're not a great team, but if they can jack up as many threes as they did, they could be dangerous. I just don't think.
Is Mike D'Antoni still their coach?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Well, then they're never
for now.
Championship.
For now, yeah. That's right. At the end of the season, that will not be the case.
Yeah. As long as D'Antoni's their coach, they're never going to win a championship. He's just cursed. All right. Well, this was an interesting one. Will Antonio Brown play any games in 2020? And right now, you've got no as the favorite at -150 and yes at +110. That's a bet that I would take. I think that if this NBA season ends up going off, which, by the way, is a big question in itself, and it ends up finishing, don't you think that after his 8-game suspension, there's going to be a team that is going to be if they don't do it ahead of time, if like a team like Seattle or whatever, or Green Bay ends up signing him at the beginning of the season and just sits on him for 8 weeks, you're telling me that there's not a team, once he's cleared to play, that wouldn't sign him just for that extra boost going into the second half of the season?
Well, he is cleared to play. A team needs to sign him, and then he'll get the 8 games.
Yeah.
No. I think that he doesn't have to be on a team for the first 8 games of the season. I believe
he has to be under contract those 8 games to count. Once he signs, he's suspended 8 games.
Yeah, see, I thought I had read different. I thought that he, like, for 8 games. He didn't have to actually be on a team just for the first 8 games of the season. He couldn't play, and then someone could sign him. I think that's the way it might actually be.
I think I agree with these two guys. I think you have to be under contract, and then the suspension kicks in. I mean, it makes no sense, because then teams will just not sign him for half a season and save money.
And he has another thing happening with that whole condo issue there. I don't know if he'll be suspended for that, but
actually that just happened. It's interesting you bring that up, because we got something from Daniel Wallach. What was it, Rich? Monday or Tuesday?
Yeah, it was confusing.
It turns out that the judge in the case, there was a countersuit by Antonio Brown saying he was being treated poorly, and the judge in the case threw out all of those charges with prejudice. Anyway, the bottom line is he's going to pay restitution of around $200,000 to the condo owner. Whether or not that adds another game to his suspension, I'm not sure, but I think 8 games is what he's going to wind up with.
Yeah, I think he goes to the Ravens is where I think he ends up.
Yeah, well, Baltimore or Seattle would kind of makes the most sense there. And especially since, isn't like Marquise Brown his cousin?
Yes.
So, I mean, especially with Baltimore, that would kind of seem, you know, a guy might be able to actually somewhat keep him in line. I mean, you're not going to keep the guy in line, but, you know.
Okay, I'm reading here, and this is a Steelers website, because, you know, they were reporting on Tony Brown, because Brown will serve 8 games starting with week 1 of the 2020 regular season. This means whether or not a team signs him prior to week 8, he'll be eligible to play at that time. So it sounds like he doesn't have to be signed to a team. There's just 8 games need to go by in this season before he's allowed to play. And if that's the case, I'm putting money on yes.
Well, I think that website's wrong. I think we're right in that website.
Once again, this is behindthesteelcurtain.com.
I'll look into it. Just from the way it's done, he is reinstated. He can sign with anybody he wants right now. No matter what, he's going to miss 8 games.
Yeah, I mean, I would bring him in. If you want him to play in week whatever 10, you need to bring him in now so that he gets training camp at least, and, you know, learns the playbook, and you don't have to sign him, you know, 1 week before, and then, you know, it takes 4 more weeks to get him in. Like, it's ridiculous.
Yeah, the only thing would be, I mean, obviously how much he is, whether or not he is going to do it for the amount of money that they're going to offer him. Like, I don't know what he's willing to take right now. Right now, I would take anything. Just get on a good team. That Ravens thing, man, how can you say no to that? And by the way, as a Patriots fan, I don't want to see that happening. Dude, that would suck. Like, that's the one out of all the ones that are scary. I want to see him go to Green Bay because I want to see those two attitudes together. Like, the diva that is Aaron Rodgers with a guy who probably, as I think it might have Will Brinson said, wants to do nothing with the city of Green Bay. Tony Brown, there's no way he would want to play in that city. So just to see the two of them together and possibly the potential of implosion would be utterly phenomenal. Okay, so I'm looking right now at your Cam Newton odds to be a starter, -400. Vegas seems to think that he's the guy no matter what.
That's what I saw this week. Dan's still on the Stidham train, I think.
Yep, I still don't believe ultimately Newton will be the starter. No preseason games, not enough time to, you know, to kind of learn the playbook and get everything adjusted. To me, I still think they ultimately go actually with Stidham or Hoyer, one of those two.
Okay, all right. And you've got the Bruins. I'm looking right now at, is this to win the cup? You got the Golden Knights have the best odds. Am I reading this correct?
The Lightning, I believe, have the best odds, right?
What am I looking at here? What is this? It's Vegas Golden Knights +700. I thought that seemed weird.
It looks like it got cut off.
Yeah.
Okay. So you sent me just like a half list of odds? Yeah. Like, oh, forget about all the favorites. I was like, where did the Golden Knights just all of a sudden come out? Like, I know they're okay, but geez, top of the list.
Tampa Bay, Boston, Vegas, Golden Knights, Philly. Now, listen, Philly.
Okay, you left a few off that.
Yeah,
okay.
It was a copy-paste issue. sorry. But the Bruins are no longer the favorites, and that's a real thing. And I think Tampa Bay is the best team. I do.
Well, I mean, we know what happens to these President's Trophies teams. I mean, it's this. It's unfortunately, it does seem to be somewhat of a curse. But I'm not horribly worried, despite what we saw. I like what we saw yesterday from the Bruins. But where are you putting your money? Like, who do you guys like? If you want to win money right now on the Stanley Cup playoffs, who are you putting your money on?
Honestly, I'd rather not put it on anything. To be perfectly honest with you, I think that betting at this point is, first off, all your odds are completely watered down, and I don't think there's much value remaining in any of these teams. But if you really want to lay, you know, something, Philly or Colorado. I mean, those would be the two teams that I've seen, you know, play the most, and to me, they look the best. I still think, ultimately, Tampa Bay does what Tampa Bay does, and they ultimately lose and, you know, crap out to some team, you know, Carolina or something like that, who, you know, they shouldn't.
Okay. All right. Well, that sounds like, I mean,
I like Colorado. That's I know that's going to be a square play when it's all said and done, but I like Colorado. Hey, Rich, one thing we just wanted to bring up quickly is gambling hasn't been easy. One thing we talked about consistently during the COVID period was lines were really tight, and the NBA has been really hard to figure out. It's not an easy sport. The refs have been involved. They clearly have been wrangles. You guys have seen it with Celtics games. But it's weird. Like, some days game favorites or overs go 6-0. The next day they go 1-6. The NHL, most of these games have been going under the total. It hasn't been easy right now. So for people who are gambling out there, that's why we preach bankroll management. It's not. There are times where it's profitable. Right now it's like, one night it's just different from next night to next night.
You got to pick and choose your spots, really.
I'm sorry, Lifshatz. I don't mean to cut you off. I wasn't laughing at what you're saying. I was laughing at, according to Twitter, 45 seconds ago, which would be immediately before you started speaking, Joe Murray, you tweeted out a video of Pamela Anderson in the middle of your own break.
Yes.
Are you even paying attention to the show?
I am. Yeah, of course. I'm looking at this side.
All I know is, if I had done something like that, I would have gotten crushed. Doing
you pulling a Sandoval over there, dude? What's going on?
Seriously, are you here or are you not here?
No, I'm here.
Obviously,
we're
not
doing a show.
You're
Joe
tweeting
Murray,
out videos in the middle of you're
nope
on this program talking.
Okay.
And
no matter what I say, I'm going
to
get my balls busted.
Damn right you are. And
you deserve to.
Show. What the hell's wrong
right
with you?
So
if, you saw Pamela Anderson and Mike Piazza on the beach, you'd stop what you were doing too.
And tweet it out.
You can just look it up. Who cares?
What the hell's wrong with you?
So, all right. So, just so people know, we're in the middle of a break that, by the way, is Joe Murray's break. Like,
yes.
This is the Bankroll Boys. They are featured. And while Lifshatz is speaking, I see on my Twitter timeline in front of me, Joe Murray, a video pop up. He retweets a video of Pamela Anderson running on the beach and types Pam-L-.
Pamela.
Pamela.
It's like from Borat.
Oh, my God.
Hey, it's a good video.
You pulled a Pablo Sandoval in the middle of our break.
Oh, well. I'm a multitasker, dude.
As
Mike Lockhart puts, I'm a champion multitasker.
You are a champion multitasker. All right. Do we have...
Hey, I was giving takes.
Penalty for this.
Oh, man.
You're still tweeting,
you're on the program.
You're still tweeting. This is a specific break designed for you. Every week.
I'm here. I've been here all day.
Congratulations.
I will still be here all day.
All right, great. But maybe you should focus a little.
Oh now it's focus. Okay.
What? You weren't paying attention.
Give them the damn degenerate special and get out of here.
Oh, my God.
So I'm stepping out of this. Right.
You give the guy like a regular spot, and this is what happens.
We need a sounder every time Joe Murray tweets during a break.
Oh, man.
Like, while we're talking, we need a sounder. Now, listen, it would be one thing if he just, like, retweeted something, you know, whatever, something came in or something was along his point. Mm-hmm. That I would understand because it adds to the conversation. But, dude, you took and commented on a video of Pamela Anderson
while we were
doing this break.
What happened was, I saw Mike Piazza swinging a baseball bat on the beach, and then comes Pamela Anderson, and I go, oh, this is awesome. And I just hit retweet because I wanted to watch it after when we get to a break.
No, you actually took the time to say, look, that's Pamela.
Pamela.
Wow. Pamela.
Pamela from
wearing a bathing suit. Mm-hmm. Where can we find a picture with less than that on?
I don't know, but when we...
They're very easily excitable, Joe Murray.
Pamela. I mean, come on, you got to watch this video. Watch it. We should talk about it.
Yeah, it's
wearing a bathing suit, walking on a beach.
Yeah, ooh la la. Someone said, Joe Murray just tweeting there. ADD Murray over there.
Oh, my God.
All right.
I think the people are happy I shared it.
Well, Dan, it's good to see you.
All right. I want the degenerate specials because it's earning me money. But then we all think it's...
Sorry.
We go railroaded by Joe Murray and his uncontrolled horniness.
Has nothing to do with the horniness. It's Mike Piazza and Pamela on a beat.
Pamela.
You didn't mention Mike Piazza. You just mentioned
him. Yes, he's had three times. He's swinging a bat in a Dodgers jersey.
Then how come you didn't say Mike and Pamela?
Because he doesn't care about Mike Piazza.
No, he doesn't.
Let's just own it. It's fine. Right,
every time he tweets, it's you gotta.
Unbelievable. All right, degenerate special. Let's get this back on the rails. Right, go.
I want to earn me some money because you have been fantastic. I'm telling you, if you're not following the degenerate, I'm not gonna tell you what to do. All I know is that I've been following the degenerate special, and it has been ridiculously hot. Okay. As of late. So what do you got? What do you got there, Joe?
All right, well,
Dan.
We'll get it quick so Joe can get out of here. We'll get Sunday morning South Korean soccer. I know your favorite. Incheon hosts Seongnam, and we are playing the under two.
Ooh,
yes,
I like it.
In that game.
Let's go a double dinghy on that one. Let's put 300 on that one. Let's go for it.
All right, Rich's bankroll is at plus 650 right
now. So we're pushing. Why don't you just make it 350, Rich? Make it an even 1,000 if you win.
Sure. Yeah, why not? We'll do 350. That's what someone said. Bird may be gone, but his spirit lives on through Murray. I mean, are you kidding me? Now Joe's like all self-conscious that people are going to be watching.
He's upset. He's pissed.
Everyone agrees that this damn video is awesome.
I don't think anyone agrees that the video is awesome. Watch the damn video and then let's talk. Look, he's upset.
I'm trying to cut us off here. Yeah. All right. We better get to commercial. All right. Thank you very much, Dan Lifshatz. I appreciate it. And Joe Murray, you just continue to tweet out weird videos of Pam Anderson in the middle of breaks. All right, we'll be right back. Right after Joe Murray's headlines, if he can get through it without tweeting.
Toucher and Rich, 98.5 Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Now, more Toucher and Rich. Toucher and Rich. Toucher and Rich. On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
All right, 98.5, the Sports Hub. It's Toucher and Rich. And during the Bankroll Boys segment that we just had on, we were sitting, doing the break, and Dan Lifshatz was speaking at the time, and I looked down at my Twitter timeline, and I see that Joe Murray, who is a bankroll boy, who it's his segment, is tweeting, and he retweeted a video of Pam Anderson, and it just says, Pam L. Law, and of course, I busted his balls, like, are you not paying attention? What's going on? But I want to publicly apologize to Joe Murray, because the video that he tweeted out is the greatest. Like, I mean, it is just something that... Every once in a while, you need to be reminded that, like, 90s and 80s television was the most ridiculous thing ever. So it is a scene from Baywatch. And just to set things up, so here comes Pamela Anderson. She's walking on the beach, and she's confused, and she sees that there is a gentleman – wearing a Mike Piazza jersey, swinging a baseball bat, practicing his swing on a crowded beach. And surprise, it's Mike Piazza wearing his own jersey on the beach.
In case you wouldn't recognize
him. And hat. And hat with a mustache.
And hat. So Mike Piazza just says, you know what?
Hat, yeah.
I'm going to wear my own Mike Piazza jersey out, and I'm going to sit here on the beach, and I'm going to practice just in front of a bunch of people. And on top of that, listen, if you get Mike Piazza to be on your show, it's not like you're not going to use him for a dramatic action scene. And that's when a woman starts drowning in about a foot of water.
Yes.
And Pam Anderson and, of course, Mike Piazza in his uniform go running into the water. It really is spectacular.
Excuse me.
Yeah?
Why are you swinging that baseball bat?
Well, I'm a baseball player.
But why did you bring it here to the beach?
Well, I'm trying to keep my swing sharp while we're on strike.
Just don't hit anybody.
Runs in with her. It's helping.
Yeah, it is strong.
No, I'm trying to clear.
You Mike Piazza. How in the world could you have figured that out? How in the world did you recognize me?
Just
wearing
out here,
my uniform with a baseball bat and a Dodger hat.
Practicing on a crowded beach. Who was the guy that we got the stories of who played for the Patriots who used to wear his jersey to the mall?
Oh, like that people... was a Zolak thing. I forget. It was a defensive back. Oh, no. It was a running back. Derek Cullors.
Okay,
there's a mall in Attleboro, right north of the Rhode Island border off of 295. Is it Emerald Square? I think it's the Emerald Square Mall. Derek Cullors used to go there wearing his own uniform. And that was back in the day where the Patriots had those Emerald, you know, uniforms before they streamlined them. This is right after Parcells took over, those ugly-ass uniforms that everyone thinks are cool now. And Derek Cullors would wear that uniform to the mall to make sure that people would recognize that he was a backup running back.
Oh, yeah. You can't do that. You can't wear your own uniform out in public. If you're a professional athlete, that's just something you can't do.
Well, tell Enes Kanter that. Remember? Enes Kanter during the protest? I had an Enes Kanter jersey on.
Now, the one thing I'll say about Enes Kanter is maybe he wanted them to know that, hey, you have support from the Boston Celtics.
No, I understand. There was a social reason for that. But, yeah, I'm just saying, how many times I'm a 7-foot guy wearing my own Celtics uniform in the middle, next to the State House. You don't see that very often.
By the way, Bruins Lutra says, make fun of Piazza all you want, but without the grip of his cleats, that weight lady wouldn't have been pulled out of the water.
That was ankle deep, yeah, right.
He makes a great point. Right. Now, was he wearing the cleats, too? I couldn't quite tell.
No, I don't think so. Not on the beach. No, that okay. would be... You can't do that.
That would not be good on the beach. So, yes. So, Joe Murray, despite us scolding you for tweeting that in the middle of the break that you were in which you were speaking, damn, that was worth it.
I gotta tell you, though, there's these things that you stop short for, right? Like... seeing Pamela Anderson on the beach and then Mike Piazza's mustache. It's like, you got to stop what you're doing, man.
No, you really don't. I don't.
I'm with Joe. I'm with Joe.
No.
Like, now that I've seen it, I'm like, all right, dude, I get it.
No.
Oh, it's fantastic.
No, that's fine. But I mean, it's just like, I've seen Pamela Anderson a lot of different ways, you know, like without the bathing suit on. So I don't care.
It's not even the Pamela Anderson part of it. It's that there's actual somebody wrote into the script, hey, Mike Piazza, why don't you wear your uniform down to the beach?
But that's not why Joe stopped. Joe stopped because he saw Pamela Anderson.
I'm going to give him the benefit of the doubt on this one.
He stopped because it was Mike Piazza. That's why he stopped.
Listen, it was funny.
And that's the reason you tweeted it out. I understand.
The whole thing was funny. Okay. Rick, in the middle of a take, Rich goes, hold on. You're tweeting during your own segment. But you had to see why I was tweeting.
So you're saying you did it for the show. You did it on purpose.
Exactly.
I like it. You're a next level radio guy. I love this. You've got next level on us. It's a cerebral type of thing that you bring to the show.
Oh, man. So many spinning plates over in that corner of the room.
I got no problem with it, Joe. Hey, you helped us kill two breaks. All right. Now we'll talk about the Bruins right after this.
Toucher and Rich, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Coming up next at 10, Sports Talk, while you're on the clock. Zolak and Bertrand. Right now, it's Tusher and Rich on Boston's home for sports. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Near point now, Krug, high slot, it's fired, they score! A drive from the high slot that went through some traffic on the way to the Tampa Bay net, and the Bruins get it to deflect home. They're on the board, trailing 2-1.
Well, as much as it kills Joe Murray to say it, McAvoy was great. And he admitted this morning, the guy that he, for some reason, has this irrational hatred for was indeed the best player on the ice, or at least was one of the best players on the ice. And, Joe, you made a good point, is that he kind of has to be, or at least he has to continue to play at the level he did yesterday for this team to have any kind of chance. I said this even before yesterday's game, is that I didn't need to see a win. I need to see the Bruins back. And after that first period, we got the Bruins back. Now, I liked how Torrey Krug responded, ended up bringing the energy up when he picked that fight for the guy who hit, it was Carlo, right? That he laid the hit on to Coleman, I think, hit Carlo.
Bjork.
And
it was Bjork.
Was it Bjork that
yeah,
he hit?
Yeah, it was Bjork who got hit after taking a shot from the slot. He got blindsided, and that's when Krug skated over and started.
All right, so I was a fan of that. I was a big fan of that. I liked that. We're gonna miss him when he's gone, because he is gonna be gone after this. I think we're all fairly convinced that they're not gonna spend the kind of money to bring him back. But after that, the Bruins look like the Bruins again. And Ty Anderson, who, by the way, if you don't follow him on Twitter, you should. He's going to be great through the playoffs. And he wrote on 98.5 The Sports Hub, that this is kind of who the Bruins were for the first 3 months of the season, where they would have a garbage period or two and then turn it on and then, for the most part, usually win. But he said the reason they were able to do that is because you had the superhuman play of the Bergeron line, and you also had a great power play, which right now they don't have. The power play has been awful. They're 0-for-7, and that, I think, right now is amongst one of the worst in the bubble since people have returned.
But it looked a lot better yesterday, along with the rest of their play. They didn't score, but they looked much better. The passing was much better yesterday.
This, to me, looks like, and just from the comments that you heard from Tuukka Rask as well, and obviously Cassidy was upset that they're not going to get the first seed, but he also made the comment that it doesn't seem to make a difference because he doesn't think that it's too much of a difference between being in first and fourth seed this year. It seems to me like they all went in with the mindset that this is just a ramp up. This is a 3-game practice to get ready for when the games really matter. I don't like that mentality. I'm not a big fan of it, but I also think that it gives me a little less reason to worry about how tough this team can be going in. I think that they just, for the sake of embarrassment, came alive. And as I said, Torrey Krug and the rest of the guys, and they shot a lot. They shot a lot more, which they said that, they got called out for that. Be a shoot first team, stop messing around, too many passes, stop getting too fancy. And I got to see a little bit of that in the second and third period. So there's good trends, but I also believe that just they go in there with a mindset of, we don't really need to go 100% during these 3 games. Am I the only one getting that vibe from what I saw last night?
I feel that way, but I just think guys aren't right. Chara's not right now. They need him to be better. And Milbury all over Marchand yesterday. I've been hard on that perfection line, but I thought Pastrnak was everywhere, and I thought the coach was throwing him out in every situation. And you could see it. He was trying. But not much from Bergeron, not much from Marchand.
Bergeron especially. At least you saw Marchand at times. Bergeron, it's hard to make a guy like that disappear, and he did at times. And by the way, I was wrong, Rich. You were right. Krug did drop the gloves for Carlo. I think it was Matt Grizzlick after Bjork got lit up in the slot.
Yeah, so that was later on.
You were absolutely correct. But
well, thank you.
In the
just
end,
as I was right about the Antonio Brown suspension.
You're on fire. There's no two ways about it. You're on fire today.
I'm never right, so when I am, I like to dance a little bit.
No, honestly, right? There's a lot to like. Even though the Bruins lost and they're not going to get either the number one or number two seed, and Washington's a really good team, they could wind up with the four. But if they play well on Sunday, and I don't know why there's no start time on Sunday. Does anybody here know? There's no start time on Sunday.
It's still to be determined.
Yeah,
from what
so whatever
sure.
the case may be, if they play well again on Sunday and Pittsburgh now lost to Montreal, so now they're down 2-1. I mean, the Bruins might be able to duck Pittsburgh in the first round. So whatever the case may be, I loved what I saw in the second and third periods yesterday. That's the team that we all saw before the pandemic hit. I'm very happy with it.
Most importantly, Billy Jaffe no longer looking like a shrunken minifigure. Mm. They figured something out. Although it did look like they were in that fake green screen backdrop, which kind of looked
that
like
thing's
a...
That thing's got to go. That's got to go.
Yeah, I know.
They moved him closer, though. They were listening.
They did.
They moved him closer to the camera.
He made a comment about it.
Oh, yeah.
He made a comment. He referenced it, how tiny he was last time. I think that was a nice little nod.
No, he went to Nesson and said, I look like an Oompa Loompa. Get me closer to the camera. And that's exactly what they did. They got him closer to the camera.
Wasn't too bad. All right, we'll talk more Bruins in just a minute. Let's first, headlines, no commercials, just Joe Murray with all the information that I'm sure you need.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.